You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Thank you. Hey, what's up to everybody watching online? We got a warm round of applause for you. Come on, High Ridge family, let's welcome in all of our online friends. People watching all around the world, hey, we're glad that you could join us. And if you like what you hear today, don't forget to click that share button. That's an awesome thing when you use your social media to spread the word of Jesus and what God's doing right here in Longview, Texas. Come on, somebody. That's awesome. I love that. Hey, good morning. I'm glad that you made it to church. We've got a brand new series we're going to start today. So open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalms chapter 1, numero uno for my Spanish-speaking friends. And as we're turning there, I want to say a very special thank you to all of you who are standing behind us with your faithful generosity, with your tithes, with your offerings. Every time you're giving money here, it is making a big difference, not just even in Longview, but all around the world. We've got lots of organizations that we continue to support. And I know that during an election year, giving to nonprofits drops through the basement floor. People stop giving because they're afraid. And that is not the case here. You guys have stood behind us. And I'm so, so very grateful to all of you who have chosen to trust us with some financial blessings and giving and your tithes. It's making a big difference. We were able to send and sponsor an inner city trip for our Chamber of Commerce and some of our brightest minds in our city to go all the way to Lexington, Kentucky to spend some time with the best minds in their city. How many people know that sometimes your city, the best thing about it is we have a great community here, but sometimes the worst thing about it is we kind of get stuck in the way that we do things. And so having new influences, new ideas, new networks, new people to come in and say, hey, I like what you're doing here. We're doing this. Can you help us with this? And we'll help you with that. And so your money was able to go to help sponsor a trip to get some of the best minds in our city to go and find things about other cities that make them great so we can bring those ideas here. And that's always a cool thing. So I just want to say thank you. We're in the city for the sake of the city. And we believe that our community gets better when the church becomes a part of the solution and not just a part of the problem. Come on, somebody. That's a good thing. And so we're making a difference right here in our city. And I just want to say thank you for trusting us with that. It really does make a difference. And so thank you for that. Psalm chapter 1, we're going to get started with a brand new series called the Psummer in Psalms. So happy Psummer, everybody. We're trying to make sure that you don't forget this. Welcome to summer. We're going to spend some time in the book of Psalms for the next few weeks. We're going to spend some time digging into a different chapter of Psalms every single week. And so we thought we'd find a way to kind of make that easier for you to remember. And that really is kind of the point behind all of the Psalms. The word Psalms literally means just songs, songs. And the reason why we have a whole book of the Bible dedicated to just songs, it's because songs are meant to help us remember the things that are important. When you were in elementary school, one of the first things that they taught you is your ABCs to the tune of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And some of you, if not for that little song, you'd have never memorized your ABCs. Some of you learned your multiplication facts to songs because songs have a way of triggering things in our memory and helping us to remember things that are important. And the Psalms is written right in the middle of the Bible to help us focus in on things that we cannot afford to forget. There's so many powerful stories and lessons and great songs written within the Psalms. This is 150 different songs written over 1,000 years. And there's several different authors, but the most prevalent one, the one who writes the most of the Psalms is, of course, David. So he's not just the person that slays Goliath, but he's also a fantastic poet. And he writes down these songs to make sure that you don't forget the things that are critical to your life, things that we have to know. Here's another cool thing about the Psalms is that everyone, if you're looking really closely, everyone will give you a glimpse of Jesus. Everyone will point you to the heart of Christ. They'll point you to the Jesus that hasn't come in the flesh yet, but they're writing these things not knowing that they're really talking about Jesus. And so much of the book of Psalms kind of reads like just an honest conversation between man and God. And it helps us to see that even these great Bible characters had some tough days, had tough seasons. And so some of it's just like them processing through their emotions. And it's kind of the biblical version of therapy in a lot of ways. And so as we're digging in Psalm chapter 1, I think there's some wonderful life lessons that God does not want us to forget. And so it helps us to remember that they're supposed to be sung so it can kind of stick in our minds. And so we're going to sing the first one to the tune of the Super Mario Brothers theme song. And as I do that, what? Can we not? All right, let's skip that part. We'll go straight to scripture. Some of you are like, wait, no. Psalms chapter 1, here we go. I don't know. All right, Psalm chapter 1. It starts out with the word blessed. Somebody say blessed.
Blessed.
Come on, somebody say blessed.
Blessed.
That's what we want, right? We want the blessing of God. It talks about what that looks like. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. You see, sometimes the blessing is not what you do, but what you don't do. Sometimes the blessing is who you don't hang around with. And so it says this, blessed is the one who doesn't walk that way, doesn't stand that way, doesn't step in this way. But it says that person is blessed when they delight in the law of the Lord. And they meditate on that law day and night. This is not talking about meditation in the way that you and I would use that word. Oh, I'm meditating right now. Meditation in the Hebrew language means to say it over and over, just repetitive, repetitive, repetitive. We've memorized scripture. We're applying scripture to our life. We've got it constantly in our thought process. It said there's a lot of blessing when you start allowing the word of God to get into your life and it becoming more than just words on a page, but something that you start to live by. You're meditating on the law of the Lord. And this is important because one of the things that we were studying about this week is what is the most critical thing facing the church in America today? And all of us, I think, would have our version of what we think that needs to be. It might be church hurt or churches that do bad things with finances or Christians that do this or hypocrites and this and that. And there's all kinds of things that we could point our fingers at the church. But the number one thing, according to a lot of surveys, is biblical illiteracy. The church doesn't know the word. And this is really a difficult thing for us to process through because as Bible teachers and believers, it's hard to look at our own failure. But notice that biblical prosperity, real blessing comes when God's people understand his word. And that's really the heart behind this series. The heart of what we're going to do for the rest of the year is to try to get us to become more biblically literate. So it says, blessed is the one who doesn't make these choices. They don't do that. They don't do that. But instead, they meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. The word of God becomes part of who they are. It begins to govern their decisions. It governs the way they do business and the way that they treat people, the way that they respond. He said, oh, there's blessing in that. It says that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. I don't want my leaf to wither. That was weird. But then he says, whatever they do, prosper. Somebody say prospers. I like that word. Don't you like that word? I like that word blessing. I like that word prospering. That's good. He says, I want your life to be like a tree that's planted by streams of water. The leaf doesn't wither and everything they do prospers. That sounds like a life I want to live. But notice the contradiction here. Not so the wicked. So there's the blessing. Here's the curse. Not so the wicked. He said, they're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. A pretty sobering reminder as we come to this, the end of this psalm. And once again, remember, it's meant to be sung so that we understand what it looks like to be blessed, what it looks like to make good decisions, what it looks like to have a life that's planted by streams of water, what it's looked like to have the best version of ourselves. And so I want to give you, if you can hang with me for the next few moments, I want to give you three life lessons that I can't afford to forget. Three things that I should be singing to myself to make sure I remember because it's critical in the life of every person that calls themselves a son or a daughter of God. Things that you can't forget. It's important. In the Spanish world, we say, muy importante. Don't forget. I'm not sure what that means, but I think it means it's important. Here's the first of three things I want to share with you. Number one, if you're a note taker, go ahead and write this down. Number one, there is a lot riding on my friendship choices. Somebody say amen. We know this as children, and we know this for our children, but you know how critical it is for you as an adult? There's a lot still riding on our friendship choices. I think some of us, when we get to the place where we've graduated from high school or you did a little bit of college and those friends kind of fall off, and then we get to the place like, I don't need anybody. I'm gonna do my own thing. It's just me and my family, and that's all that we need. We kind of get into this world of self-isolation, and there's nothing wrong with spending time with your family, but friends are an important part of your health. don't know if you know that. Do a search sometime on statistics for the health of a person who has no friends versus those that who have good, strong relationships. It is amazing to me the health and the physical benefits, not including the spiritual. There are things like you dramatically lower a lot of health issues. You lower the percentage of you having to deal with those things just by having good friends. Stuff like heart disease and stuff like high blood pressure, stuff like depression. Some of you are like, I'm 3 for 3. Like, you got no friends. You know, it says, I looked at this morning. This was crazy. It says that the people that have really good, close, great friendships with other people that they're really close to, they have less chance of being morbidly obese. Why? Because good friends will tell you, you're getting chunky. You need, hey, no dessert for you today. Look at you. You're really letting yourself go. Like, thank you. I'm a friend. Sometimes you need those kind of people that can push you and say, what are you doing? No, you don't need salsa and you don't need chips. No, just eat the enchilada. You get one today. Like, why are you being mean to me? I'm a friend. There's really is a lot riding on your friendship choices. We know that as children. Do we know that as much as adults? That it really does make a difference. In Psalm 1, it talks about you want to see God's blessing? Look at who you're hanging around. There are some blessings that lie on the other side of us walking away from bad relationships. You know, growing up in a household where we were planting churches as a family, and you know, we moved from city to city, it was difficult for me and my brothers and sisters to ever really find close friends. We just kind of had each other because everybody else got to grow up together in the same neighborhoods and communities and schools and playing sports. We didn't get that. And so it was hard for us to go into a new community and to really make close friends. It was hard for us to get to know them. We were the outsiders. We're the outsiders, the people that had a difficult time. Is it just me? Thanks for making me feel really alone right now. Some of you are like, no, I was raised Baptist. We don't raise hands in church. Where are the outsiders at? Where are you at? Some of you are Pentecostals, like, I raise both hands. Don't even care. I don't know what you're asking, but I'm in. But it was difficult for us. You know, some of you, you've lived your whole life in Longview. You were, you know, born with the same kind of friends, and you're gonna be in the nursing home still laughing about the same stuff that happened in the second grade. We've been lifelong friends. But I remember coming home one time from second grade, and this was at a time where we were in between homeschool, and sometimes we do a few semesters here or there in some public schools or Christian schools if we could afford it. And I was so excited. My mom says, why are you so excited? I said, because I made a new friend, and his name is Eric. Like, oh, you made a new friend. That's awesome. Tell me about Eric. I said, Eric has tricks. She said, Eric does tricks? I said, no, Eric has tricks. She said, Eric has tricks, like tricks up his sleeves. He's a magician. No, he has tricks. And what I was trying to say is my friend Eric had Tourette's syndrome and has some vocal tics. And so I didn't quite remember what it was, but I said, Eric has tricks. And she said, well, what's his trick? I was like, he says bad words all the time and doesn't get in any kind of trouble for it. Now, that's the kind of trick that I want to learn. Like, how do you do that? You say all them bad words, but he couldn't help it. That was part of his Tourette syndrome and the tics that he had. And so it was an insane thing to me to find the person that was also kind of an outsider like me and recognize, like, wow, he's a pretty cool guy. I've got you. You've got me and one of my first friends. And I remember vividly that friendship and coming home being so excited I'd finally made a friend, and it helped me to develop just having a friend. It was a huge benefit to me as a child. Now, with that also came the day where Eric and I were walking out towards recess, and I'm talking to him about my day, and he's talking to me about his day. And then I get the very first betrayal in my life was Eric. Eric sucker punched me while standing next to me, sucker punched me right in my jaw. And as I'm laying on the ground trying to figure out what happened, like, why would you hit me? He stands over me, he says, how dare you think I would ever be your friend? What in the world? Now then, I started saying some of those bad words, but I thought, we can't get in trouble for that, apparently. But I realized a very, very valuable lesson. And I want to share that with you. Some of life's greatest blessings and deepest wounds are based upon who you gather with. Some of the best moments of your life will be based upon the friendships that you have. And some of the deepest wounds you'll ever have will revolve around some of those same people. So according to Psalm chapter 1, there's a lot riding on the people that you gather with. There's a lot riding on those choices. There's a reason why we want to plug you into a group. We want to make sure that you have good Christian people that are gathering around you, because they're going to help you. It's a good thing, not just for your family, but it's a good thing for your health. It's a good thing for your mental health. You're less likely to experience things like depression and anxiety when you have strong, close friends. It's good for you. Somebody say, it's good for me. Now, one of the verses that we used to apply when I was in youth ministry, it seemed to be like the life verse of our youth ministry. One of those verses that we would find ourselves saying every single Wednesday night when we'd gather with teenagers is 1 Corinthians 15:33. I've memorized it. It says, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. And so we preach a lot to teenagers that we want you to shine the light in a broken world. We want you to stand for Jesus no matter what. But also understand that who you gather with, who your friend choices are, it matters because you're generally not going to change them. They're going to change you. It's much easier for people to pull us back into old bad habits than it is for us to bring them into the kingdom of Christ. So we have to be careful about the friend choices that we have. That doesn't neglect sharing the gospel. It just means be very careful who you call a friend. And Psalm 1 echoes that same thought. It says, you want blessing? Be careful. Be careful who you surround yourself with, how you do business, how you treat people, because God is watching. One of the most powerful lessons that I've ever learned and something I've memorized, and I want to share this with you, is there's a high price to pay for low living. I learned that because I read scriptures like it says, look at how we envy the way of the wicked. It looks like people that are making some horrible life decisions, doing illegal things or wrong things. It's really easy to look at their life and say, yeah, but they're having fun. But they got a new boat. They got a new four-wheeler. What do we got? It's like, well, he cheated on his taxes. Well, we could cheat on ours. There's a high price to pay for low living, for bad character, for bad decisions, for living without morals. There's a price to pay for that, and you don't want to pay it. It's more expensive than we can imagine. Proverbs 13:20 tells us, you want to walk with the wise? Then you're going to become wise. Make some good decisions. And I found something to be true for my own life, and I'll share this with you, that standing in a place where I'm on the pulpit every single week. I really do want people to like me. I want you to come to this church and say, I like that guy. I like what he's talking about. I like his messages. They feel at home with me. I don't like when people don't like what I have to say, when they don't like this. And sometimes right after a message, somebody will come up to me, well, you should have used a different scripture. I don't like that one. Or, you stepped too hard on my toes. I'm like, thanks, Mom. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, but I want people to like me. But I've had a hard time of what do you do with that criticism? What do you do when people criticize what you're doing? And you have a good heart, you're trying to do the right thing, but people criticize. And I've learned this to be true, that there are people that give me good criticism that I should take, and there are people that it doesn't matter what they say. And I have to learn the difference between the two. So here's one of the things that I've memorized and put to my mind, and I'll share this with you. I never take criticism from someone I wouldn't take advice from. And the people that I take advice from are from people that have a great relationship with the Lord. If their walk with God is producing fruit, if they're looking like a Psalm 1 kind of person, I know that when they give me criticism, they're probably right. And it's important to listen to it. That's how I stay teachable and have a humble spirit. But that doesn't mean that every critic is right. So how do I determine which ones I listen to? I listen to the ones that have a great relationship with Jesus. Great advice comes from those who have a great relationship with Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. So there's a lot riding on your friend choices. Number two, I want to share this with you. Number two, the best me is found by doing things God's way. The best version of me is always going to be doing things according to what God's word says is right. There's blessing and prosperity. Somebody say blessing, blessing. Prosperity. Now, when we say those two words, it's easy for us to think blessing and prosperity equals money. Now, I will not say that that's not the case. I will say this, that's not always the case, and that's not all of the case. A lot of times when God blesses, it does include some financial blessing. And it's difficult sometimes for us to process through that because we want to see people that do things God's way either live in absolute poverty or we want to see them become super wealthy and rich. Like, that's not really the case. The point is, are they being blessed by God? Because sometimes money becomes a curse. And sometimes not having it, and it doesn't make you more holy, it just makes you poor. So what does it mean to be blessed and to prosper? Does that mean having the Midas touch where everything you touch just turns to gold and you just make more and more money? Is that the end of it? No. Biblical prosperity is having a life that sees God do something wonderful out of everything. That's prosperity, where I recognize that, God, you're doing something great. And then I look back on parts of my life that I didn't understand. I'm like, wow, God, you did something great there. That was beautiful. That's your favor. That's your blessing. You carried me through. You've blessed me in the good times, in the bad times. I still have you. And I found that when it talks about blessed is the one who meditates on God's law day and night, the person that applies God's word to their life, here's what's going to happen. It's going to change the way that you process. It's going to change the way that you deal with people. It's going to change the way that you do business. Consistent time in God's word will revolutionize the way that I think. You'll not recognize yourself after about a year. Spending some time in God's word, when the word begins to come up off the page and you start meditating on it, asking God, how does this apply to my life, Lord? What scripture that I'm reading today do I need to understand in order to be able to deal with this customer or to be able to deal with my boss or with my children? How does this work practically? And you would be shocked at how God begins to change the way that you operate as you spend time meditating upon his word. It says you're like a tree that begins to be planted by rivers of living water, producing fruit in seasons. That's the kind of fruitful life that we want to have. We want a life that bears fruit, not just a fruity life. A life that bears fruit. So the best me is found by doing things God's way. And God's word will lead us into these streams of just favor and fruitfulness, blessing and prosperity. His word shows us how to get there. Which is why we understand how that's such a big problem in the church today. Everyone's looking for prosperity without finding the principles on how to receive that from his word. And you can't have one without the other. You need to know his word. Please hear me, believer. At some point, you're going to have to actually read this. It's not going to be enough for you to come to church and hear me do it. My job is to equip you to do what God has called you to do. And I want you to fall in love with this word based upon the gifts that God's given me. I want you to fall in love with it. I want the word of God to become something that you spend time in every single day. Not to just check some box, but to have a real relationship with your Father. So Psalm chapter 1 teaches us that our friendships matter more than we could even possibly imagine. And it also teaches us that the best me is found by doing things God's way. I want to finish up with point number 3. Number 3, Psalm 1 shows us there is no middle ground in character. There's no middle ground in character. Now, this is where we find ourselves a lot of times. You might be like me. I call myself half hood, half holy. And so when somebody says, yeah, pray with me, don't play with me, like, I get that. Because depending upon the day, like, I might be doing well, like, I'm all about Jesus. And other times I'm like, Lord, just turn your face away real quick because I need to do something. This person's on the very end of my last nerve. Don't look at me like that. You know you're the same way. But this scripture says, look, there's the good guy and there's the bad guy. There's the righteous and there's the wicked. Those that are children of God, those that are children of something else. Now, back when I grew up, the good guy and the bad guy were easy to tell the difference. It's not quite the same today. You know, when we watch television shows, you watch movies, it's kind of a common theme now to do a little mind twist on you, to have the main plot of the movie revolve around a character that you thought was the good guy, and then the twist happens and they're actually the bad guy. And then the person that you thought was for sure the bad guy, there's a twist and then they're actually the good guy. You see this over and over play out in modern day film, but that wasn't the way that I grew up. I grew up in a time where it was easy to spot the bad guy because the music would change. Boom, boom, ba, boom, boom. Ba, 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 bad. Bad the boom. Like, that's the bad guy. Here he comes. If he rode a motorcycle, that's the bad guy. If he had a mustache, that's the bad guy. Right? He wore black. Ooh, bad guy. If he had a scar, that's the bad guy. It's easy to tell, right? Because they just got to set it up on a tee for you. Bad people, they've got a scar on their face. But for those of us that had to walk through life with a few scars, like, that made me a bad person. Like, what in the world are we teaching our kids? Mustaches aren't evil. Some of you are like, yes, they are. No, they're not. Calm down. They're just from the 70s. What about the voice? Whoever had the deeper voice, that's the bad guy. But life really, it's just not that way. When the Bible talks about the righteous and the wicked, here's what we usually do. We'll look at righteous parts of the scripture and the wicked parts of the scripture and say, oh, the righteous part, that's us. and the wicked, that's them. And we always use them very loosely. We're the righteous, they're the wicked. Wicked people are those that we don't agree with, those that make different lifestyle choices, those that don't worship the way that we worship or look the way that we look. And depending upon your relationship with Jesus, you might look at wickedness completely different than the person next to you. It's us versus them, and they're wicked, and these people are wicked, and those people are wicked, and these people are wicked. And it's easy to label people groups wicked until you start putting faces to it, until you start putting names to it. And then you start feeling guilty, like, I meant like wicked in general. I didn't mean like you specifically. It's really easy for us to judge wickedness and unjust things and unjust people, put that label on people, and to kind of see it falsely because we have a self-righteous thing working on the inside of us. How does that happen? I want to show you this, that often this is what we do. We judge others by their actions, but judge ourselves by our intentions. Well, they did that, they're wicked, that's wrong. But I did this, but I have an excuse. I was having a bad day. I was hurt. I was in a bad place. I was drunk. I was tired. I was feeling anxiety that day. And we will judge other people by their action, but judge ourselves by our intention. But I meant to do the right thing. It just came out wrong. Or you know that's not what I meant. Don't look at me like that. We do this. I see this happening all the time. We'll judge people by their actions, but judge ourselves by our intentions. And so that's where it becomes really easy to say, us righteous, them wicked. But here's the thing. You don't know the heart. You only see the actions. And people don't know your heart. They only see your actions. They don't know your heart. They just see the way that you treat them. So when we say we're wicked or we're righteous or they're righteous and they're wicked, we kind of get it lost. Here's the crazy thing. According to the Bible, there's none righteous. None. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 1. It says, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. It's not us and them. We are them. Except for Christ. It's about Christ and what he did. The Apostle Paul says this about all of our goodness, all of our righteousness, all of our best works, all of the good things that we've done. He says, I consider it filthy rags. It's not enough. On our best day, it's not enough. This kind of helps us to put things in perspective as we're looking at putting labels on people as wicked. We recognize that it's only because of Christ that we're righteous. Look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's not your righteousness, it's his righteousness. And that gives us a different way of looking at it. It gives us a little bit of hope for people that you would say are wicked. Why? Because I was one of them. And so were you. And without Christ, we're all wicked. This is why I say the Psalms are so important, because it gives us a glimpse of Jesus. It gives us a glimpse of what it means to have that righteousness. It gives us a glimpse of what it would mean to have a relationship with someone that would take all of our sin upon himself and take the punishment for us so that we might experience grace and mercy between us and God. Isn't that good? One of the most valuable lessons I think that I ever taught as a father, and certainly I had, you know, good days and bad days. There's, you know, good things I did, and then there are things that I'm looking back like that. I totally missed it on that. There's no parents that are perfect. Come on, parents, you'd agree with me. And so back in my day, I was raised with corporal punishment. Spankings were a thing before we were labeling that child abuse. And so I grew up in a household where that was a standard of discipline. Where are the people that got spanked? Where are you at? All right. Oh, see, you're not all Baptist. So teaching my children about discipline and how to navigate through their friend choices and through their character choices and through the morality of the things that they have to decide, like, that's a difficult thing. And so I remember one time after going several times of disciplining my son for the same thing over and over and over again. And I remember finally coming to him on the last day. He got written up at school and done the same thing over again. And I said, son, remember the last time I told you this? I said, I was going to spank you. He says, I do remember. And so we always discipline in private. I said, let's go upstairs. And so we went to his room and sat there on the bed. And I said, son, am I a man of my word? He said, yes. I said, I told you I would give you a spanking. He said, yes. I said, you agree that you did this? He said, I did. I said, well, today is going to be a little bit different. I said, because today you know that you deserve a spanking. He said, yes. I said, today I'm going to show you what grace is. It's not just that there is no spanking. I said, today I handed him the belt. I said, today you spank me, and I'll take your punishment for you. And so his eyes got kind of big, like, wait, what? What are we doing here? And some of you were like, oh, yes, my time has come. I wish he would. But he began to cry, and I began to cry as we understood something completely in a different perspective. See, the discipline in this area just wasn't working until grace showed up and gives us a picture of Christ, of what it means to look at what we've done and what we deserve versus what Jesus did for me. Let that be something that is ingrained into the fabric of who we are. It's about grace. It's about the righteousness that Jesus provided for us. That's the only thing that keeps us from being declared wicked. It's him taking the punishment for us. I want to finish with this one thought. Because Jesus was declared guilty, I'm declared righteous. And only because Jesus was declared guilty am I declared righteous. So a blessed life, a prosperous life, the best version of me is only found in Christ. Can you receive that? Is that okay? As I finish up there, I want to give you a chance to maybe respond to what the Lord may be telling you. I think if I've done my job correctly, then there may be some friendships that you need to evaluate. Maybe it's a good time for you as a couple to start thinking about who we've surrounded ourselves with. Are these people a good influence on us or a bad influence on us? Are there some friendships that we need to rekindle because they're good for us and they're helping us? Consider the relationships that you have around you. There may be others in this room that you need to reconsider your love for God's word and your time spent in his word. It's been something that you've seen it gathering dust on a shelf, something that you haven't logged into on your mobile app. I want to encourage you, get into God's word. It's not just words on a page. It's the words of life, and it will help you. Meditate on his word day and night. And for others, maybe we just need to spend just a few moments telling God, thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for what you did for me. Thank you for seeing something in me worth saving. I'm grateful that you don't see me as wicked, but you see me as righteous because you look at me through the blood of your son. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? Let's take a moment and just respond to the Lord. I want to give you a chance to do that if you wouldn't mind just laying down any distraction and telling the Lord, thank you. Lord, these are lessons that we can't afford to forget. So Lord, first and foremost, we want to say thank you. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for taking our sin for us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us wisdom and helping us to experience your blessing and your prosperity. Thank you for helping us to recognize that you're a God that brings something beautiful out of everything for those that you love. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing for us right now. In Jesus' name. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, if I'm going to be honest with you, I need that relationship with Jesus. I've been away from God. I need to come home. My friend, you're in the right place. Maybe you've never had a relationship with Jesus. This is your moment. If you would like to have a relationship with Jesus, or if you need to renew your relationship with Jesus, then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I want to invite you to pray along with me. You can pray this out loud. You can pray this with a whisper. You can pray this in your mind. It's not important how you do it. The most important thing is that you believe it. And if you want a relationship with Jesus, pray with me right where you are. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Now say this, I believe that you came and died and rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for my sins. Please forgive me. I pray this. Say, Lord, I give my life to you right now. I need your help. I'm all in. Will you save me, forgive me, and help me? I give my life to you in Jesus' name. And now with heads bowed and eyes closed, my friend, if that was just you and you say, Pastor, I did it. I prayed that prayer with you. That was me. Can I just see your hand all across this place? Would you lift it up nice and high and proud? I see you. Good for you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good for you. My friend, I want you to know that I'm super proud of you. Good for you making that decision. But I don't believe that this is the end of your relationship. This is the beginning of your relationship. And I would love to help you keep taking steps towards the Lord. So there's a phone number appearing behind me on the screen. And for those of you that just prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you to text me. Text the words, I prayed, to that number. If you're watching online, that number is up there for you as well. Text me. And I'll send you the link to some things that will help you and show you what to do next. Good for you. High Ridge family, go ahead and look up at me if you would. Then let's stand to our feet together. All of you watching online and those of you that have social media, I wanted to say, if you feel like this lesson that we taught today is important, would you do us a favor? Would you share this with your social media friends? Click the share button. It's a big help to us when you do that. God's doing some great things, and it's a huge honor for us to hear the reports of what God is doing all the way around the world with things happening right here in Longview, Texas, because you're willing to stand behind what we're doing with your generosity and with the sharing of your social media. So those are two huge ways that you're helping us, and I just want to say thank you for that. That's a big deal. I'm going to have our elders and their wives step forward. These guys are going to be available to pray for you about anything that you might need prayer for. If you're watching online, you have a prayer request, hey, type that in the chat or send us a DM if you'd like. We'd love to pray for you as well. Just because you're not here in person doesn't mean that God is not there with you and God won't hear our prayer and meet you right where you are. And then for everybody else, I'm going to pray for you and bless you as we go. Father, I pray that you bless my friends with an incredible week. I pray that they would enjoy every single moment of this summer. In Jesus' name, and all of us said together, amen. God bless you as you go. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.